you know, to reveal some things to you in this study tonight. We're going to be here for maybe a couple weeks with this thought, right? And one of the things that we have to talk about, we talked about the children of Israel last week. We talked about that when Joseph went from the pit, amen, to the palace, to the prison, back to the palace, amen. He got promoted, amen. Then went back to the palace and got promoted, right? We talked about how God's sovereign hands was upon him, okay? So we're talking about how sovereign God is. So I want you to familiarize yourself with that term sovereignty, okay? That word sovereign means that God, and maybe something you need to write down, because a lot of this terminology, right, may leave you if you don't really hear it a whole lot, right? So one of the things you have to remind yourself of is this, that God is so sovereign. That means that God is in control. That everything that happens, happens under God's direction, under God's domain. Everything that happens, amen, God allows it to happen. If God didn't allow it to happen, it wouldn't happen. Amen. And you're wondering, well, why has my life turned out this way? I believe it's your choices. Oh, join me Sunday morning. I got something for that too. Amen. But I want to share this with you. You know, oftentimes we say, well, you know, this happened because of this, that happened because of that. But oftentimes, you know, we have to understand that even with our bad choice, you see, the believer should always have peace in the midst of the storm. Because even when we were not good to God, even when we weren't living for God, God was taking care of us. Can you imagine that when you start living for him, what he will do? Think about it for a minute. When we were outside of his will, amen, what was he doing? He was taking care of us. How many can testify? I can testify that, listen, it was rough, but he was still taking care of me. Amen. But when I came over to this side, watch this, the blessings that came was amazing. The life that God has given me is because I'm on this side. So the believer should always remind himself or herself that even in the midst of what you're going through as a believer, amen, watch this, that God is able. So that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. I want to talk about the ableness of God, that God is able. And we're going to go through the study about how able God is, amen. And we'll talk about what that really means, that God is not just able to do just some things. God is able to do beyond what we can ask or even think. Amen. A woman once approached a famous preacher after he spoke and asked, "Do you think we should pray for every little thing in our lives or just for the big things?" In his dignified voice, the preacher replied, "Madam, can you think of anything in your life that is big to God?" I'm going to say it one more time. Can you think about anything in your life that is what? Big to God. Nothing in your life supersedes him. Amen. God, the Apostle Paul writes, in Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Let me show you something. In his doxology, amen, the writer of the book of Ephesians, amen, which is Paul, Ephesians chapter 3, Paul begins to talk about a God that is able. I want to tell somebody tonight, you got to start believing in the God that is able. The God that can do something in your life that you will never even be able to repay him for. A God who can open Red Seas, come on somebody, and close it. A God who hung the sky, who stretched out the heavens, Amen. Who scooped out every valley. Come on, somebody. Who made every mountain. Who put the bark in the dog, the meow in the cat. I'm talking about the height to the giraffe. Come on, somebody. God who is able. A God who you and I have the ability to know through Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the God of the Bible. Now, I want to help somebody with something. Oftentimes, we're so focused on our earthly life that we forget that there's a heaven awaiting us. And there's a God who's there. Now, just imagine your prayers leave earth. And it goes to three heavens. And watch this. And then it gets to God. I'm trying to help somebody. There are three heavens. There are three levels to heaven, okay? Now, watch this. Watch this. The light from the sun takes 5 minutes to get to earth. And all you have to say is, Father. And your prayer goes through all three stratospheres right into the throne. Y'all ain't trying to hear me tonight. And I'm talking about a God who's able tonight. Amen. No matter what your problem is tonight, you have to believe and you have to trust that the God you serve, amen, is able. And so I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And then this is Paul here giving his closing arguments here to the church at Ephesus. If you go back to verse 14, it says, this is Bible study, right? Amen. So somebody read then.
For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father.
So we know it's a prayer. Mm-hmm. He bowed his knee. Go ahead.
From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name.
Mm-hmm.
So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God.
The fullness of God. See what he said? That you be filled up with what? The fullness of God. This is Paul's appreciation here. Paul is sharing with these believers that, listen, every name. Paul was not teaching a universal fatherhood, but what he was suggesting is the attitude of submission and reverence for the fact that we are part of a family. You see, what positions us where we are in this journey is the fact that you and I have become part of God's family. Whereas before we were on the outside, come on somebody, God has brought us near to him through Christ. Now, verse 20 is the close. He says, now to him who is what? Able. To do what? Far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. See, that's how able God is. That God can do far more. Listen, I think about oftentimes when I think about this scripture, I think about, man, listen to my prayer, Lord. The stuff that I'm asking for, you can do abundantly more than what I can even ask. And you ever notice that there are times in your journey where God just blesses you with things you never even asked for? I wish I had somebody. And you're wondering why. You know, you're going to get to a place eventually in your journey where you're going to be like, why is God so good to me? Come on, I want to see a few people get there. You know, say, why is he so good to me? Why is he so good to me, right? Watch this. And remember what I told you yesterday. It is not based upon what you do, if you give, if you serve, if you live right, If you give to people, if you give to the poor, God is not blessing you because you're doing those things. God is blessing you because you love him, and because of your love for him, those things are produced out of your life. Are you with me? Watch what he says now. Because good works doesn't give you good standing with God. Are you with me? Good works is just a sign, a evidence that something has happened to you. That you do belong to God. Because I remember when, I wish I had somebody. I remember when all I thought about was me. I wasn't thinking about nobody. Anybody remember when? When it was all about you? Come on, somebody. You say, I've never been that kind of person. But you were, even if you were never that kind of person, when you were doing it to be seen, heard, and understood. Come on, somebody. But when you know Christ, your agenda changes. You serve because you love God. You give because you love God. You're faithful to the church because you love God. See, it's not because you have to. It's not because you're forced to. But he is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. Watch this. According to the power that works within us. So in other words, there's a power. God is so sovereign that he has a power. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the word. And here's what it does. It's working in you. That's why it's so important for you to come and hear a word and be washed with the word. Because through the preaching and teaching of the word of God, your life will change. There's a power that comes from God that when I ask him for something, he knows what I really need. So he gives me far more than what I really ask for because he knows me better than my. Come on, y'all. God knows you and I. And here's what he knows. He knows what to give you. He knows what to hold back from you. And whatever he gives, he will give it in abundance. We don't serve a God who just puts bait out there. When God gives you something, he gives it to you. But the God that is able, amen, is a God who is able to give you beyond those things that you can ask for or even think. Think about this for a minute. God is able to give you things beyond your mind. Your mind, come on, is thinking one thing. Your mind is saying, man, I wish I could do this. And God is saying, man, I could do that. I could do that for you. Because why? Because I'm able. I'm trying to get you a good understanding of who God is. And when you understand how able he is, then you will rely on him. God, I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about a career. I'm thinking about a business. I'm thinking about, you know, bettering my life. I'm thinking about, you know, going back to school. I'm thinking about it. God, you said in your word. See, what I want you to understand about the sovereignty of God is that, listen, the things that you can't do on your own, you have to lean on God, and he will pave the way for you to get it. That's who he is. Watch this now. Watch this now. He says, and to him be what? The glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, what? Forever and ever, amen. Now, God is able to do far more abundantly beyond what we can ask. And God is able to do far more abundantly than what we can think. So from Genesis to Revelation, we see God's mighty power at work. We see from the beginning, if you go back, let's go back to the beginning real quick. Let's go right there. Let's go to Genesis 1 real quick. Let me show you something. Let me show you how powerful God is. Okay? Let me show you something real quick. Amen. All right? And let me help you to show you how powerful he is. Okay? All right? Let's go to verse 6. I'm sorry. Let's go to verse 1. What does it say? In the beginning. No, you read too fast. See, that's where a lot of people miss it. In the beginning, God. You got to pause right there. Why? Because he's able. In the beginning, what? Come on, whenever you read it again, I want you to put a period right there, okay? In the beginning. Come on, let's try it again. In the beginning. There you go. What did he do, y'all? He created. So we understand that God is a what? Creator. What did he create, y'all? Let's see. What did he create? The heavens and, I told you there are many heavens. Amen. Heaven and earth. And the earth was what? Formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God, this is how able he is. Not only, this is how God creates. God creates by just thinking it. And then speaking it. You see, God is the architect. Amen. Christ is the one that brings it to pass. And the Holy Spirit plays his part also. Amen. So there's the Trinity working here. Okay. Because in matter of fact, in Christ, all things belong to Christ. So Christ is the actual builder. Amen. Because in Colossians, he says in him, all things were created. All things in him. So in the beginning, God created. What did he say? And God said, God spoke. Man, isn't that awesome to know that your God can speak and things will happen? Let me ask this question. Is God speaking today? Yes, he is. You know how he's speaking today? Through general revelation. You know what general revelation is? What you see outside. When you were driving here, you were looking at the sun go down. How beautiful those skies were. Amen. When the rain comes down, when you look around, you see God's general revelation of his power. When lightning missed your house by an inch, when you didn't get flooded, you have to understand that all those things are a general revelation. Well, let's get a little closer. Look at you. Look at how you created. You have us. Each and every one of us have a different DNA. Did you know that? Each and every one of us have a different voice pattern. May I ask you a question? How did that happen? Did we evolve? No, God created us. And what I want to share with you tonight is that you and I must not overlook the general things that God shows you about himself every day. Can I ask you a question? Did he reveal anything to you today about himself? Or were you paying attention? See, oftentimes we don't really pay attention. You know what? We take certain things for what? For granted. Certain things, like getting up. Like having a sound mind. Come on, somebody. The activity. There's somebody right now laying in a bed, can't talk, can't walk, can't see, can't speak. Come on, somebody. But you and I have the full faculty of ourselves. And here's the thing. We ought to bring glory to him tonight. Are you with me? Look what he says. He said what? He said, let there be what? He said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw, God see, God saw. See it? That light was good, and God separated the light from darkness, from the darkness. God called the light what? Day, and darkness he called what? Night. Amen. And there was evening and there was morning one day. One day. God did that. Because he's what? Ah, thank you. He's able. Verse 6, then God said what? Let there be what? An expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse what? And there was what? Evening there, and there was morning a what day? Watch this. Let me explain that. What God is, the earth was covered in water. See, when light comes on, you get to see what's happening. God, this world was covered in water. And God said, let me do some separating by just speaking. God didn't have to lift a finger. Come on, somebody. You know what I found out? We overwork ourselves. For he's able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all you really had to do was ask. Lord, would you send me an opportunity today? God, I'm trying to fix this thing here. Would you help? Man, I can't tell you how many times that prayer has helped me out in situations where I'm like, God, I cannot. This today, I was trying to, we had student IDs for a long time, you know, about a year now, right? And I totally forgot how to do it. I totally forget. It's a whole process, right? You know, getting the barcodes in and stuff like that. And it's amazing. I said, Lord, please help me. You see, what I want to share with you, y'all, nothing is too little, nothing is too big for you to ask God. If you're trying to figure something out, ask him. Because he's, oh, y'all catching on. Watch what he says in verse 9. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land what? Appear. And it was so. And God called what? The land earth. See that? And gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seeds, and fruit trees on the earth bearing what? Fruit after their kind, and with seed in them, and it was so. Why did God put the seed in the fruit? Because it's about multiplication. And then God made the earth so that when the fruit fall, because there wasn't nobody there to eat it just yet. Come on and help me, somebody. Amen. When the seed fell on the ground, it fell into the dirt. The rain would come. He did start it off doing some little raining on the earth, right? And watch, all of a sudden it started growing. What do you have? Multiplication. See, I'm trying to help somebody with something. You got to start sowing some seeds if you want something to grow in your life. You understand what I'm saying? God will take your little seed and he will turn that thing into a monstrosity of a situation where your life will never be the same. Do I have anybody? Why? Because God, he's sovereign and he's able. And I love him so, y'all. And when you get to know him like that, amen. It's an amazing thing. Look what he says next. Verse 12. The earth brought forth. Verse 13. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And then God said, let there be what? Lights in the expanse of the heaven to separate the day from night. And let them be for signs and for what? That's why we have seasons. See, God is showing us something here. Amen. There's morning. There's evening. You with me? Amen. There's what? There's night and there's day. Amen. There are days, there are seasons. God is the one. Man didn't create this. And here's the thing. If man did not create earth nor man, then why do we go to man or rely more on man for what we need to be relying on God for? I think sometimes we miss it. Listen, when your car breaks or when you have a problem or if a light comes on in your car, right? Well, today, back in the day, you would go in your glove compartment and you would pull out the book and you say, let me see what that strength is all about, right? Now you can just Google it. You understand what I'm saying? But there's something about that light that causes you to stop for a moment and say, let me go back to the manual. I'm trying to help somebody. Oftentimes when something goes wrong in our lives, we go to the wrong manual. We pick up the bottle. We come on, somebody. We do destructive things because we don't understand what's going on. But if we were to go back to the manual, the book. So the next revelation that God gives us is not only general revelation, but special revelation. This book is inspired by God. Amen. And it is profitable. Amen. For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. This book, amen, written and been preserved for centuries. God preserved his word to get it to us here in 2021. Come on, somebody. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let me help somebody with something. You can't doubt this. Because if you doubt this, you are doubting the mind of God. Because what God left on record here from his word is for us. Can I help you with something? I had a whole lot of questions when I got saved. Oh yeah, I had a lot of questions. And I was wondering, how can a man walk on water? Come on, somebody. How is it, amen, that he can open blind eyes? You know, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure out, why does this verse doesn't make any sense to me? If you go through the whole Bible, the Old Testament, nothing makes sense when you're not saved. Nothing makes sense when you're a baby Christian. But when you begin to meditate on this, and when you and I realize that all of it is special revelation from God, that God handed it down from centuries. It survived a lot, y'all. Church history will tell you. Christians were persecuted. They were burnt at the stake all for this. John Wycliffe, who translated the Bible into English, amen, was killed for translating this book. Why would a man die for something like that if he didn't believe it? And I believe something here today. I believe something. I believe that the problem with most Christians today, they struggle with the word itself, believing, number one, what it is. It's inspired by God. Holy men who were moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now listen to me. There are some things that you and I, and listen to me real good. I want to help somebody with something. You have to accept this by faith. There's just some things you just got to stop being so analytical about. Okay? And trying to be all deep. Amen. And you just got to say, you know what? Okay. I'm going to accept this by faith. Now listen, when you read this, what we just read, okay? Watch this. Who can speak and it comes to pass? But you got to believe that. See, a lot of people don't believe that. Some people believe that it was matter and force came together and you have what's called the Big Bang. And that's how the world was created. I don't understand that. Natural selection says that the stronger will dominate the weaker. Amen. But all God did was spoke. Come on, somebody. You know what I want to say at night? Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me from your word. Don't rely on anything other than his word. If you're trying to wait for a revelation or a sign or something like that, you ain't gonna get it. God speaks today through this. And he uses the man of God to relate the word of God so that your life can be transformed. That's how he works. How can they hear? For all you people who decide to give up on church. Amen. Who decided to pastor yourself. Who got questions about the Bible. Listen, I'm not going to argue with you about no Bible. Bible tells me, don't argue with them. No controversies and stuff. We ain't arguing about that. As a matter of fact, God never tries to prove himself in this. Are you with me? I'm on the road tonight. Watch this. Watch what he said next. All right, let's skip on down to verse 20. He said, then God said, let the waters teem. Yeah, all that. God created the great sea monster, all that. 22. God blessed them. And let's back up. God created the great sea monster. Ain't that something? And every living creature that moves and which there was, what? Swarmed after their kind, And every winged bird after its kind. And God saw it was what? And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth what? Living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, the cattle after their kind, and then creeped on the ground after its kind, and God saw it was what? Verse 26. Then God said, circle it. Let what? Stop right there. Let who? Now, us meaning more than one. So what do you have there? The Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You know, I want to live for you. But there's just some things you have to believe by what? Let us. The word Trinity is never used in the Bible, by the way. Okay? But the word says let us man in our what? In our, there it is, in our image, according to what? Our likeness. Watch this. So God is able to create everything that we see, including you. But God made you and I, let me help you with this. God made, see, here's the thing. A lot of people are trying to find their purpose. What's my purpose in life? What am I here for? Well, it says here that he made us in his image. Now, the word image there is the idea of something being replicated. You hear what I'm saying? Not duplicated. So come here for a minute. Take your mask off for a second. What do you see here? Come here, sister. Huh? Come on in, sister. Let me see. Wait, where you going? Come on. Come on in. Come on. You got to move fast now. I got a little bit of time. I got 6 minutes. Now go on. Take your mask off now. What do you see now? Okay. Watch this. She is not she or her. She is not she and she is not she. You understand what I'm saying? But the point is there's a whole lot of what? Right. So we're not gods. But we have characteristics. We have a mind to think. We can create things with our hands. You understand what I'm saying? God has given us, according to his likeness, some attributes that belong to him. So when you start feeling down about yourself, you depressed and all, man, you got to go back right here and say, you know what? I am made in the image of my Father, and my Father is able. Do I have anybody? So stop looking at you're too tall, you're too small, you're too fat, you're too whatever your problem is, whatever your insecurities are, and you have to start looking at who God created you to be. Stop allowing people to, watch this, to define who you are, because if you take the next person and the next person, they're all made in his image. What's the difference? What's the difference? The difference with most of us, or some of us, is that we don't maximize our potential that God has already placed in us, because we're trying to compare ourselves with everybody else, trying to figure out how they got there, when God says, I have a path already laid out for you to get there. You can't walk my journey and I can't walk yours. You hear me? We have an individual journey. And in this individual journey, it has to be done in such a way that God is glorified in everything that we do. Because I'm made in his image, but not only in his image, but his what? Likeness. And then look what he says next. And let them rule. Tell your neighbor, dominion. What does that mean? Here's what God gave you. Write this down somewhere. You need to write this down. God has given you a stewardship. Now, how are you doing with that? How are you taking care of your family? How are you taking care of your own body? He gave you dominion to rule. That's what that is, to rule over this earth. See? How do you think we've come this far? Oh, we come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord. We came this far because guess what? We were exercising our dominion over whatever he placed in your hand. Now, a lazy person that sits around and folds his arms and sleep all day, the proverb writer says, you will come to ruin. You can't fold your arms and watch everybody else make it while you sit back and say, woe is me. It's time to raise up out of that and realize that you are made in the image and the likeness of God. And guess what? You have dominion over your real estate. He says, I want them to do what? I want them to have dominion. Watch this. To rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God says, I've given you a stewardship. But here's the thing. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. You with me? But if you're not taking care of what you already have, how in the world is he going to give you more? God knows, I told you this last night. Did you write it down about blessings? What did I say about blessings? It is contingent on your what? Capacity. If you don't have capacity, you're going to get just enough. So, Pastor, how do I grow to get more? You got to be faithful in the little, and he will give you more. Can I ask you something? How faithful are you with what you have now? And if you're faithful with the little, amen. God tested you with the $250 check from the IRS. You know, the one they're giving right now. Somebody like, oh, shoot. What? I didn't know we were getting that. Yep. If they under 18, you getting it. Amen. But you didn't give nothing to God. God trusted you with the bonus. Now listen, he wants to bless you. But if the longer you keep mismanaging his stewardship that he has given you, you will continually find yourself waiting and waiting. I challenge you to trust him. Listen, can I help you with something? When you read this, you'll realize something. You ready? I'm about to drop a bomb on you. Ready? This is a bomb. Ready? Where did they get all the stuff that they were over? Where did it come from? Let me ask you a question. Did they create anything? Did they speak and stuff came to? No. What were they? What was their one responsibility? To rule over it. To steward it. Watch this. Watch this now. Watch this. Everything you had don't belong to you. All you are is a manager. When you die, somebody else is going to be sleeping in your house. They're going to sell your car because you didn't have life insurance because they got to pay for your funeral. They're going to sell your car. That beautiful car that you used to shine up on Sunday and then come to church. Guess what? They're gonna sell it. All your clothes is going to Goodwill, I promise you. Cause either your spouse will be like, I don't want, man, there's too much memories. All that gold we got, all that stuff we accumulated, watch this. Somebody else is gonna wear your stuff. Because all you and I are managers. So here's the thing. As a manager, I live my life as, my wife be getting on me. If I see someone has a need, you know, I go meet that need. Even if I got to take my lunch and give it to them, it wasn't mine in the first place. You understand what I'm saying? Here's the thing. Nothing that we have or possess. We keep saying my house, my car, my this, my that, my this, my that, my. And guess what? God is the one that gave it to you because of your yes. So watch what God knows about you and I. If I could trust you with more, and I know you're going to, Sunday message. I know what you're going to do with it. Then guess what I'm going to do? Shoot, I'm going to give you more. And I'm going to give you more. And I'm going to give you more. And I ain't just talking about money. I'm talking about wisdom. I'm talking about understanding. I'm talking about God delivering you freely, freeing you from the things that had you bound. Because, watch this, because your capacity, watch this, is getting bigger, and watch this, and your love for him is getting stronger. So what he does, he just draws you out to a place of abundance. And let me tell you something. The one thing I don't worry about ever, but I had to get there, is how I'm going to pay my bills. Ever. I'm going to say it one more time. Ever. Why? And I'm done tonight.